city full of lights. Yes, it glows in the night, and it's full of surprises. Every doorway has a fantasy land that will shake up your mind. Neon ladies selling rooms for romance on a 12 o'clock high. To Love Town, baby. Midnight madness, a moonlight gladness in Love Town. Out in the streets, no one ever sleeps, 'cause their body's on fire. Yeah. Up on the roof, love is 100 proof. You got me going higher and higher. Shadow or two, making love in the night.
Making love all night.
I look around you at your dreams coming true for once in your life. Everybody, I bring your body to Love Town. A midnight madness, a moonlight gladness in Love Town.
participated in mass rallies of anti-war supporters in New York and San Francisco. Citizen when his parents came to the U.S. and were naturalized. He was still in college in 1960 when the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, was formed. It was SNCC which organized the sit-ins in the South. In 1966, as its leader, Carmichael spent the year transforming the organization toward the concerns of black college students. This speech, given to about 700 students, illustrates the clear division between traditional nonviolent civil rights leaders like Martin Luther King and the more militant leaders coming on the scene. Here, the viewer can see Carmichael define America's racial problems. Note particularly his concern with semantics and his use of antithesis to contrast the black and white perspective. Also noteworthy, of course, is his ability to excite and motivate his audience. At one point, he leads the audience in a chant, which, though abbreviated on this tape, lasted 10 minutes. In all, the viewer can witness an example of confrontational rhetoric from the 60s, illustrated by the fiery Stokely Carmichael.
Six, seven, eight, peu importe. de la rue Max. Si vous frappez à la porte, d'abord un coup, puis trois autres, on vous laisse entrer. Seul et parfois même accompagné.
Exploring the country's new music scene. I'm James Kamara-Sami. We'll be meeting four feisty female artists, one of whom describes herself as a Russian horror fairy tale character.
At first I was like screaming, and a lot of guys, they were like, what the hell, why is she screaming? She can't sing, she's a girl, she should be beautiful, nice, and she can't express herself in any different way.
We'll also be hearing about the importance for Russian musicians of close contacts with the wider world.
I was chosen as the first Russian artist to be a part of the musical program in the United States called One Beat. That's actually the experience that changed my life.
And discovering how here in Russia the worlds of classical and popular music aren't so far apart either.
If you come to a contemporary music concert in Vienna or in London, the average age of the audience would be 50s and 60s. The situation is really different here. Here, it's a hip thing. We are the hip people.
Говорю имя твое, говорю имя, говорю, вот жажду тебя утоли имя. Не хочу знать доброго или злого, хочу телом своим превратиться в слово.
This is a track called Mom Dad by a multi-talented musician called Anton Maskeliade.
Mom Dad ought to be a friend or love.
Over the past few years, his original electronic creations and improvised performances have gained him an international reputation. He puts his soul into his music, but also, in a very physical way, his body, generating sound with his movement. He recently set up a school in Moscow to teach electronic composition to budding producers.
G, F, B, E – это тональность сэмпла. Например, твой проект в тональности ля. Вижу.
Hello, my name is Anton Maskeliade. We're sitting now in sound studio, where I teach my students how to write music, how to make art. You know, actually, my career started in 2013, and in 2 years, I already played on the big festivals around the world. It's not a common story, especially about Russia. I just thought that maybe it could be a mission for me just to explain people that art is just free world, and you can do whatever you want if you really want to do this. It's nothing to be scared of.
How did you become an artist?
I think it began when I was a child. I liked to listen to some fairy tales on a vinyl. Prokofiev.
Peter and the Wolf?
Yeah, of course, it's one of my favorites. And then I just realized that music makes something special with me. I just feel it in some special way. It's like, I just love it.
And tell us, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Moscow, Vykhino area. It's a criminal area, actually. Vykhino is a wonderland. Who comes here will disappear. Yeah, and I disappear actually. After a few years, I left my family and moved to another area. And then I finished my first university as economist. Then I finished my second university as a sound engineer and start to work on two jobs. But the second was not a job. My main job was a sales manager of wood grinding machines, spare parts for wood grinding machines. And evening time and night time I spent for music, trying to make something that I love.
And that eventually took you to America?
Yeah, that's actually the experience that changed my life. It was in 2012, and I was chosen as the first Russian artist to be a part of the musical program in the United States called One Beat. They gathers 30 musicians around the world. So I was among the really talented fellows from South Korea, from Nigeria, from Venezuela, and we were making bands, playing together, and then had a tour from Orlando to New York with stops in different cities and playing in the bars, in the museums, in art galleries.
Tell us about the international aspects of your work. As you say, you've performed at lots of festivals and events around the world. How important is it to get out of Russia and to travel and to get different musical influences?
It's important for me. I'm a really ambitious guy. Different countries help musicians to travel around. They cover the expenses, because the countries, they're interesting to spread its culture around the world, and it's beautiful. And Russia doesn't do this.
Why do you think that is? Why does the Russian state not want to promote its artists internationally?
They care about different things, and these things are not about the art and not about the people. They're more about the money, the power, and that's all. It's enough for them.
Why do you think that there isn't much openly political music? Why isn't there? Even though there's a lot of frustration amongst the young generation, why do people not write political songs?
It's scary. You could have problems. We have some experience a few years ago when Medvedev was the president. It's his name Makarevich, Andrei Makarevich. He has a band, Machine Vremya. It's one of the best Russian bands ever. And he was close to the president. And a few years ago, he just started something like critics, and said some critics to the government. And in 1 second, he started, had really big problems with the concert, with the gigs. In just 1 second, he became a traitor. Because how could you say something bad about Russia when the whole world against Russia?
It just takes one very public example like that, and people get the message.
Sure, sure. They're not stupid. They know how to make people quieter.
Anton Maskelyada. Well, after school, Anton invited me to an avant-garde classical concert performed by the Chematic Ensemble and featuring a piece by one of his former students, Yevgenia Nedosokina. She also calls herself Jenny and Jekka for her pop songs.
It's just interesting event. I just can't miss it because not often such things happen in Moscow.
These are classical reinterpretations of electronic music?
Right, the classical interpretation of electronic music. Right.
My name is Jenny. I'm an electronic musician, producer, songwriter, and I play under the name Jekka.
Tell us about your piece that we heard this evening.
Well, this is my first time writing anything for a music ensemble, and I'm not really familiar with working with acoustic instruments, so that was super stressful because you have to know how each instrument plays and how it can be played in an alternative way. So it was a real challenge for me to do something.
Tell us about Moscow as a city to be creative in. Does it inspire you?
I think it inspires a lot of very sad music, very depressive music. Yeah, because
Why is that?
It's a very depressive city. I don't know. All of my friends are definitely depressed all the time. Even when they have like a moment of shining hour, they're still kind of depressed. And
what depresses them? Why this mass depression?
I don't know. I think it's the general mood, Moscow mood. It's kind of like, you know, Mordor from Lord of the Rings, kind of like very dark place and very brooding.
This seems like a pretty special evening. I mean, for people listening, what is the scene like in Moscow? What's the electronic music scene? How would you describe it?
Oh, it's bubbling, buzzing, everything really. Moscow has a sensational number of absolutely talented electronic musicians, and with electronic production schools opening up, more and more people are getting into it much faster.
Some people have suggested that clubs and places like that are having a lot of trouble, and there's been a bit of pressure from the authorities to close things down. Are you finding that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's very hard to get support from the government. Mostly clubs open up semi-illegal. Yeah, it's very hard to get past the legislation and just to open some place which has some more kind of an subculture music or underground music. It's very difficult to get like financial support for music festivals. You usually have to go to some brands, mostly alcohol brands. So yeah, it's not easy, definitely.
And is it because the government's just a bit nervous of young people doing things that it doesn't quite understand or can control?
Definitely that. And also because Russia has a certain cultural policy, which is more about traditions and traditional music, and they actively support that, just like really pushing it into every festival, every like city celebration. I mean, they're just simply bombarding with these traditional values, and they're not really open to kind of contemporary styles. And
does the global political situation make a difference? Do you think people look at Russia differently now?
I really would like to think that culture and politics are sort of more separate than together. I mean, of course, one influences the other, but still, I would like for people to kind of not look at what, I don't know, Putin is saying, because he isn't speaking for the whole nation, you know? There are plenty of people who are in opposition, you know. It's like now with Trump as well. You can't really say that all Americans are so bad because Trump is such an idiot. No.
Yevgenia Nidasokina, Jeka. And this is her track, Ti Nestoy. Jeka with Ti Nestoy. This is Global Beats with me, James Kamara-Sami. Now, long before I started presenting NewsHour here on the BBC World Service, I lived in Moscow, and I actually DJed on a Russian radio station back in the 1990s. So, checking up on today's music scene has been something of a nostalgia trip.
So this is a little vinyl record store called Dig. It certainly wasn't here when I lived in Moscow. It's in not far from the centre, on the window, painted all the different genres that they've got in here: folk, disco, post-punk, dub, indie, Soviet pop, Soviet folk, Russian pop, Russian rock. If I have a look in here, I'll probably see some records that I bought. In fact, yes, very first one, Kino Noch. They were a band very popular in the late Soviet period. Ah, this is what we're interested in, the new Russian scene, Novaya Ruskaya Scena. And there we go, right at the front, Glintshake, one of the new Russian bands that you'll be hearing on this programme. I'm driving through Moscow now, and as I sit here with a bag of vinyl, it brings back a memory from when I used to live in Moscow in the early 90s. There was one rather unfortunate day when I was in a cab and I had a huge bag of vinyl. I paid the driver, got out. With a sinking feeling, I realised I'd left my vinyl, and some of it pretty rare, in this car. So I had no idea who this guy was. All I know is he has a pretty good record collection now.
Well, I arrived with records safely in hand at a cool downtown cafe where I'd arranged to meet Kate Shilanosova, who set up the post-punk band Glintshake with guitarist Zhenya. She also records as a solo artist, a different vibe and a different name, Kate NV. Her sound as Kate NV has been described as evoking everything from Japanese pop to Björk to Laurie Anderson. But you may be surprised what Kate thinks is the most significant influence on her music.
Lots of things changed once I got in Scratch Orchestra. In late 60s, Cornelius Cardew is a composer from England, Stockhausen student, made Scratch Orchestra. It's an orchestra of amateurs, but those who really wanted to play music, because he believed that anyone can play music, anything can sound, anything can become an instrument. So he wrote a constitution and for this orchestra, and he wrote a piece called The Great Learning. And somehow it happened that in Moscow, few composers and musicians, they play the concerts. They just invited random people from the concert to join the next one and to play as a scratch orchestra. And it completely changed my life, because like before that, it was really hard for me to improvise with people. Like, some people take LSD, and I participated in scratch orchestra. So it really changed my whole, like, the way I perceive music. It's really hard to invent something new, like, right now in 2018. And, like, the only way to exist and make music is just being honest with yourself and listening carefully to what your heart and soul says. And I just realized that before that moment when we switched to Russian language, we were kind of, we're not honest with ourselves.
Yeah, because your initial recordings were in English, weren't they?
Yeah, that was the thing. Like, English is an international language. Lots of people speak English, and we thought that probably it will help us to get more audience, which is insane right now, because, like, when we switched to another language, our own, like, native language, we got more attention than ever before.
I don't want to talk too much about politics, but it obviously affects you, the whole current tensions, international tensions, as a Russian artist. You play a lot abroad, you just come back from recording a new album in Cologne in Germany. Does it concern you? Are you worried about what impact it might have on your career?
Ooh, yeah, it's pretty complicated. I don't know, you know, like 2 years ago, maybe until 2015, I was very scared. The financial crisis just happened in Russia and everything became really expensive, and I really felt like all of my friends, they started like Googling how to immigrate to Canada. And really, I'm not even joking, it was so dark. The vibe was so unhealthy and dark. And I remember me and Zhenya, we talked a lot about this stuff, and he was like, the only thing you can do right now is just work harder. I mean, I'm not a politician, and if I can help like someone to understand something and to feel the same way I feel by making art, then I should do art. This is like the best thing I can do.
Kate Envy, and that track is called Bells Burp. This is Global Beats from Russia. We'll be back in a few minutes. Our next artists on this Russian edition of Global Beats are Anastasia Kreslina and Nikolai Kostilev, otherwise known as iSpeak. That's I-C-3-Peak, if you want to look them up. And if you do, you'll be confronted with their gothic horror persona. Whitened faces, chains, glowering expressions. But when iSpeak do speak, they sound rather pleasant.
I think right now we can say that we make horror hip-hop music.
And I see, Anastasia, on your Instagram, you describe yourself as a Russian horror fairy tale character.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, it's kind of a bit ironic, but it's a mythological way to describe our project, because we create some narratives and our music is pretty dark.
Well, talk us through some of your darker songs. I mean, talk about Grustnaya Suka, Sad Bitch, first of all. Tell us about that song.
This song is called this way because, like, Sad Bitch, Grustnaya Suka, because in our society we have this concept of happiness, which we have to follow all the time. And if you don't follow this concept, you are kind of weird or not normal or something else. And in this song I'm saying that that's okay. Okay to be sad, okay to be yourself and to express yourself. You don't have to be a nice girl all the time also. You can make your career, you can make everything by yourself, and that's not a reason to call you a so-called bitch. How usually in Russia, for example, people call women who are really independent and who do everything by themselves. When I'm naming myself in this song, Beach, it's more like feminist way. Like, now I call myself Beach, so you don't have this power anymore.
You said that there's this pressure to appear happy. Is it especially true, do you think, for women in Russia today?
Yeah, for sure, because you really have to be happy. You have to provide men with comfort, with sex, with beauty. And it takes a lot of work, a lot of time. It consumes everything, a lot of energy. You don't have any time for yourself and for your own development.
Yeah. There's one lyric, the translation on your video says that I'll be sick on your marble floor. What does that refer to?
Like, I'm talking this song that luxury life is not my style. That's not my aim. I don't care that much about money. I'm sick of all this luxury and glorious things which people show to other people, like that's the main point of their life, and I just throw up on all this with everything I do, like my art, kind of.
What's the reaction been to that particular song?
Oh, we had a lot of mixed reactions. It's whether this song is total shit, I want to kill this girl, I want to kill these guys, or it's like amazing, I feel like this song describes myself, describes my life, so it's super polarizing, but it's cool. I think that's a good sign when it's so polarizing. Yeah.
When they say we want to kill you, I mean, is that serious? Is that an actual threat?
Oh, yeah, yeah. it's like internet trolling serious, you know? It's like a lot of men in Russia saw this video and became super angry. It's like, what does she think about herself? Why she's shouting? They just don't understand it. They're afraid it, and then they're angry.
Actually, it was like that from the beginning of our project, because as we started, I didn't sing. At first, I was like screaming, and a lot of guys, usually male guys, they were like, what the hell, why is she screaming? She can't sing, she's a girl, she should be beautiful, nice, and she should
sing beautifully.
Yeah, like she can't express herself in any different way. I was making it more for girls. I'm happy that some girls, they love this song and they can like find themselves in this lyrical hero. That's the main point for me.
Tell us about the song Go With The Flow, because that also had quite a reaction, didn't it?
Yeah, so like the song itself didn't have any negative reaction to it, because I think not many people got what the song was about. But then we filmed a video in Brazil. It was like our reply on the governmental law that was imposed on gay and queer people.
The homosexual propaganda law.
Exactly, homosexual propaganda, yeah, I forgot how it's in English. The homosexual propaganda law. And we went to Brazil to play a gig, and at the same time we filmed a video with amazing queer crowd who danced and kissed each other. We have this super beautiful piece in the video where two men kiss each other, and it was like our reply on this law, because we felt that people should love each other no matter what other people or government or whoever think. It was really loud in Russia, like a lot of media told about it, and it was pretty cool, yeah.
We couldn't actually film it in Russia, because if we wanted to, we had to find some people who could take a risk to participate in this.
I mean, you had problems though, didn't you, in terms of concerts being cancelled?
Yeah, we had some concerts cancelled. No one told us like that's because of this video. But it happened
like
right after.
Immediately, yeah. Immediately after, and it's like several concerts in a row.
Is there anything that you wouldn't say? Is there anything, any lines that you wouldn't cross that you'd be perhaps too scared to or intimidated to say?
No. I don't think so. We can say whatever we want yet, because music is not censored that much yet. We're not there yet in Russia. I think we may come to that point because some Russian song was actually banned in Russia like a month ago or like...
Yeah, we have some issues from time to time, but it's not about politics that
yet.
Much yet.
Yeah. We're working on a new album now, and it will be much more political than previous.
More directly political?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can be like somehow media activists in our own field of music, and that's very cool that we can speak out and that we can show people that there could be done some changes in our country. Artists like Pussy Riot or Piotr Pawlenski, they give us a lot of inspiration and confidence.
What about the platforms, though? You know, there's been this attempt to shut down Telegram, for example. Does that concern you, that actually the ways that you get the music out to the people that want to listen might not be there?
Yes.
Yeah.
It concerns us a lot.
You obviously travel and you made your video. And how important is international exposure to you?
That's
very important.
Yeah.
It's very important to see and to feel how other people think and how they live. Because when you live in a country which was closed for a very, very long time and everything here is a bit different from the world, it's important to understand that the things can be different and they can be different in your country also.
The inimitable I Speak. And from the dark side, time to go into the light. Lala Selimova is a DJ, beatmaker and singer with a band called Lavanda. She lives and works in Yekaterinburg in central Russia, but her family's roots are to the south in Azerbaijan. So is that why her self-consciously sunny music appears to rather buck the gloomy Russian trend?
I would say that it gave me that sun, the sunny vibe, the positive vibe. I love bright colors. I love rings, you know, like gold, like gypsy, you know. Some people even mix me with Spanish. They say like, you're Spanish, are you? I look a bit different. My skin is a bit dark, darker than people in Russia usually have. And the hair is dark. And also I have curly hair. A lot of it, so it's pretty strange. Sometimes people come and try to touch it and check it out if it is real or not. And then ask me like, oh, is it a wig? I'm like, no. Is it your real hair? I'm like, yes. They're like, wow.
Are any of your songs that you write yourself, do they have specific Azerbaijani influence?
I don't think that it have like a specific influence, but it has a beat. You know, Flamingo, you know, Flamingo beat from my second EP, it has these percussions. And different kinds of drums. And so it makes me feel home, you know. Also, there is a song in Lavanda first album called Svitok Flower. Svitok. We recorded the rhythm a bit like Azerbaijanese rhythm. We have a friend, he's from Tajikistan. And it's a bit close to Azerbaijan, like according to music, vibe and stuff. And this guy was playing this kind of tune and we put it into a song. And this very special thing made the song so sunny, I would say. Я вижу то, как мы растем. Я чувствую, что есть одна любовь. Она идет внутри меня, цветет цветок внутри меня. Время идет внутри.
тримми на цвітьох цвіток, а там дається новий вдох, мої класа дітять глубже, чем мирской фон. Я вижу истинный свет, а не закат восход. Я вижу, как мостик несет истинную любовь. Я вижу, все вокруг цветет и даже росток. Спытает все вокруг меня, кто должен быть со мной. Время идет внутри меня, цветет цветок. Это дает мне новый вдох, это дает. Я чувствую, что есть одна любовь. Время идет внутри меня, цветет цветок. Внутри меня.
Ла ла ванда, сол команда, как сон строу. Определенно надо, чтобы росли мана. Пройти боль немного странно. Жизнь многогранна, как минерал с гор, но не изучить состава. Держись, мана, все есть одно, все одно, все одно. Вода да огонь, брат. Время идет внутри меня, раскроются кроны цветка. Всеми легкими в себя вдохну, вели мы одна семья. Вера, любовь вокруг тебя, а не война.
Время идет внутри меня, цветет цветок. Это дает мне новый вдох, это дает. Я чувствую, что есть одна любовь. Время идет внутри меня, цветет цветок. Внутри меня. Время идет внутри меня, цветет цветок. Это дает мне новый вдох, это дает. Я чувствую, что есть одна любовь. Время идет внутри меня, цветет цветок. Внутри меня.
A lot of the music that comes out of Russia these days seems to be quite dark, quite depressing. You're doing something different. What are your observations about that?
Too many people are listening to dark stuff, and this dark vibe and music is getting more and more popular. And I was always thinking, like, it might be that I don't understand something. I mean, I understand that there is always the sun and the rain, always a day and night, you know. But still, sometimes, whenever you listen to some lyrics and the message that the person is trying to send, you get really upset, like, what, really, like...
Do you feel then that you need almost to make a different type of music? Do you feel it's your...
Yeah, you feel like you need to save something. Yeah, you need to save and just get more and more people into another side. There are so many things that make us upset, you know. All we have to do as musicians, I think we have to give this very feeling. Not always, you know, sunny feelings, always positive feelings, but... Even sadness, like the sad feeling, can be beautiful, you know? And not that aggressive and dark, you know?
Working on a steep, I feel like the waves of love going through me. I just want to share my love with you. I just want you to feel the wave.
And tell us about Yekaterinburg. What sort of city is it like?
Yeah, our city is located in the border between Europe and Asia. We got Ural Mountains. We got wonderful and amazing nature around everywhere. Being around nature is so important. I got so much inspiration just being around this green wonderland, I would say. And people here in Ural area are very interesting. We got so many beautiful musicians, beautiful graffiti artists, beautiful writers. We got this attitude of our city to be together. We have in the center of the city Latina dances just next to the river, where people meet, dance till the night together. We also got that music night, when all the night there's every sport, every theater, every museum has music stage, from temporary like Russian music to some modern styles, and everywhere people walk all night from one spot to another spot just listening to music. there is such a magic atmosphere in the air, you know? We all got a beautiful chance to live and love. So, peace.
Lala Salimova, DJ, beatmaker and singer.
Although the focus of this programme is on the music, it's been pretty hard to avoid the political context while we've been in Moscow. And our next interviewee has invited us to speak to him at a place which symbolises the tensions between the artistic community and the Kremlin. And it is the Gogol Centre. It's a theatrical space which puts on contemporary works. And its director, Kirill Serebrennikov, has been under house arrest for several months on charges of embezzlement, although the artistic community is adamant it's because of his non-conformist views. We're here to meet a musician who's passionate about his music and his politics.
You'd probably call Alexander Manotskov a classical composer, but as you'll discover, you probably shouldn't. He finds that a bit too narrow. He's written everything from symphonies and operas to film scores and recorded albums of songs that he sings himself.
Говорю имя твое, говорю имя, говорю, вот жажду тебя утоли имя. Не хочу знать доброго или злого, хочу телом своим превратиться в слово. Я смотрю на тебя из ручья, быстрая рыба, неназванная и ничья. Ты ударишь меня строгой, и мною станет кто-то другой.
We're now sitting in the lobby of Gogol Center, whose artistic director, Kirill Serebrennikov, is now sadly under home arrest. Why didn't he simply flee, which he certainly was able to? He's so much in demand in Europe as an opera director, but he's here. He didn't want to. He stayed here because he thinks it's his life's task to do something here, to do something for the country.
Do you feel similarly?
Yeah. We are patriots. We love this place, not the people who say that they do, and that's why they will, I don't know, occupy Ukraine or threaten everyone with nuclear weapons like they do. We're not represented in the media, not in the state-controlled media anyways. We're not represented in the media landscape outside of Russia, on the BBC, for example. So this mistake is actually being mended right now, thanks to you, thank you. We really appreciate that. This is me, you know, saying to the listeners, we're here and we are also Russia. Russia is not just thugs occupying Ukraine. Russia is also people working in Ukraine. I have collaborations with Ukrainian musicians. I have concerts in Kyiv, Kharkov, and so on. We don't have anyone in the parliament, not a single member of the so-called Russian parliament. They don't represent us even remotely, not to mention the so-called president, the self-elected president of Russia. So